Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, because you're not attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Israel was a government. Christ preached a kingdom. He actually preached a government, and those he appointed that kingdom to the apostles. I appoint unto you a kingdom. He tells them, I'm going to take the kingdom away from them, these guys who had the kingdom, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the others that were working in government. I'm going to take the kingdom away from them. Nobody sat on the throne in Jerusalem at that time. Nobody had sat really on the throne, lawfully on the throne of Jerusalem, since the death of King Herod the Great. Herod Antipas was not the king in Jerusalem. He was in, the kingdom was divided up. There was nobody sitting at the main seat of the kingdom. There were people sitting in the seat of Moses, but they weren't sitting in the seat of the king. But if you could sit really as king and high priest, then you could change everything. And that, of course, is where Christ was. He was king and high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, which goes all the way back to Abraham, who was anointed by Melchizedek, who was actually Shem, but maybe you don't know that yet, but we won't go in there. But anyway, so he says in 23:23, woe unto them because they're not attending to the weightier matters. But he had been saying a lot of woes before that. He went and said, he spake to the multitude and to his disciples, who were, he said, that was his little flock, that he was going to appoint the kingdom to them after he takes it away from the ones who had it. But he says, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, scribes are actually like accountants, you know, I mean, they're the ones who are collecting taxes and all that kind of stuff, or at least their accounting is collecting the tax. Sometimes they had other guys who actually enforce the taxation, Gabbais and Molochais. But the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He didn't say they had a right to it, but that's where they're at. And what was that? The head of government. Therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. This is the same as what he was saying, being friends with the unrighteous mammon. Same as what when Moses said, pay your tally of bricks. But he says, now, but you're supposed to do something else. And he says, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Who do you know who says and does not? Politicians. They're going to do this, they're going to do that, and then they don't do that. Oh, you know, although President Obama promised you change, you've got change. I don't know if it's what you thought you were going to get, but you got it. And, you know, I don't want to pick on him. He's President of the United States, and that's what the people have spoken and wanted, and they should have that. And God intends them to have what they want, because when God wishes to punish us, he grants us what we want. Unfortunately, you live in a democracy, and some of you didn't want what you got, and some of you who got what you wanted don't want it anymore. But it serves you right, because you haven't been following Christ, and that's what we're going to get down to. We're going to show you where you should have been going all along, which is not electing this guy or that guy instead, but in electing to follow Christ. And I know you think you do now, and you go to church, and you believe in Christ and all this stuff, but we're going to show you, you don't. It's going to take some time to sink in. So I have to get you to accept certain premises first, because you're going to think I'm going to be attacking your delusion, and you're going to fight back. No, don't take my lifesaver away from me. I want to hold on to this garbage. I don't want to get into the lifeboat. No, we'll get you up there. We'll get your hands off of the garbage and get your hands onto the righteousness. And you can't argue with righteousness. I mean, you will see righteousness, and we're going to show you. I'm telling you. I'm giving you a heads up. And I'm doing this in love to help you out. You guys see that there's a problem. You see that there's trouble. You need to find out where your salvation is. It's not in the Constitution. I know you think it is. You know, you should not be trying to get your constitutional rights. Now that sounds, what? We demand our constitutional rights. Why? Constitution was written to grant rights to government. You were endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. Constitutional rights have nothing to do with your rights and that were endowed by God. They have to do with rights endowed by the Constitution. You know, your right to bear arms didn't come originally from the Constitution. Your right to freedom of speech didn't come from the Constitution. Your right to freedom of religion didn't come from the Constitution. Those are written to restrict and control government. Your rights come from somewhere else. They come from God. Now you want the right to the rights given to you by God. You have to take the responsibilities given to you by God. And I know some of you are. But I'm going to show you how this real... I'm going to give you the missing pieces of the puzzle. But I have to prepare you for it. Because it's kind of scary. Okay? So anyway. He goes on to say, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be born. And lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their little fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. You know what a phylactery is this little, it's a little leather box. They put a piece of scripture in, and they strap it to their forehead, and they wrap it around their the forehead with a leather thong, and then they take the end of that leather thong and they wrap it around their arm all the way down to their hand, and they hold it in their hand. And that's a external ritual that is metaphorically representing something that could help you. And it's what you would be doing. It represents the process of studying to be quiet. Okay? That little leather box you see the Jews wearing and wrapped around their head and all the way down their arm and everything. It is a metaphor, a ritualistic metaphor for the process of studying to be quiet. Okay? Now, I've said that twice. So that kind of sinks in so you can picture that. This is called this phylactery. They actually have a couple other names for it, but that's the way it's translated in the King James. It's about meditation, which is a form of prayer. It's not an action prayer, which is the work you do during the day. It's a waiting prayer, waiting upon the Lord. That's what you do when you're going through this process that the phylactery represents, which is just a gimmick, an exercise, you know, and it means nothing without the Spirit. And of course they had phylacteries and they were doing all this stuff, and they wave back and forth, they wobble back and forth in front of the Wailing Wall and all that kind of stuff. That's representative. That's not how it works. But we won't go into all that. It gets too much off the subject, but I'm making a mental note for you. We'll deal with that in our meditation series. But he goes on, but all their works they do for to be seen. It's all about pride and arrogance, vanity. They love the uppermost room. It goes on there, and he says, but then this is where he gets in. He says, but be not ye called rabbi, which means teacher, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Now he's talking to the multitude. Master is the anointing, is what he's saying. Even the anointing, the anointed, the Messiah, the Messiah, and all ye are brethren. Christ wanted to be our brother, not our father. Now he said that, and then he says something really important. And call no man your father upon the earth, For one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. This includes not being masters over one another, not rulers over one another. Democracy is where 51% of you rule over the other 49. The kingdom of heaven is not a democracy. It's a pure republic under God, who writes upon your hearts and your mind when you follow His way, His path. So this is what we're going to show you, is how to get there. And we're going to show you what's keeping you from finding it. But he that is greatest amongst you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That same idea he repeats when he says, I appoint unto you a kingdom. That same idea he repeats between when he appoints you a kingdom and when he says, you are not to be like the princes of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors. That's those fathers of the earth. But they exercise authority one over the other. They are masters over one another. They rule over one another. And so you say, oh, this bureaucracy here or that bureaucracy here is ruling over us and is abusing us and putting us in jail and accusing us taking away huge sums of money, taking away our ranch and our livelihood. And oh, these terrible masters. And you weep and you wail about it. But did you know you were doing the same thing? You were committing the same sin. And because you committed the same sin, you did not have the protection of God. Now what they're doing to you may still be unjust and unfair and unrighteous, and we'll get into that too. And each time we get into these different levels, we're going to come back to the fact that you're doing it. I mean, Bundy's got 11 kids. Are they home taught? Are they going to public school? Huh? Huh? Say what? If you're sending your kids to public school, aren't you masters over the people in your community? Because you're forcing the people in your community to pay for your child's public education. I mean, what's it cost to send a kid to school? $10,000 a year? 11 kids? Let's do the math. 11,000? Or is it $110,000 a year? Is he paying that much in taxes to the county for the services he's getting, free education for his kids? I don't want to pick on him. I'm picking on you. How many kids are you sending? How many kids did you send? Do you take care of your parents? Or do you have the government take care of your parents through Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid? If you do, you are masters one over the other. And so quit complaining about your masters, because you chose to be masters over others. Others may choose to be masters over you. You cannot win this war unless you repent. Because Christ is saying not to be that way. He said it over and over and over again. How many of those rich preachers that are preaching to you are saying, no, you get to take all those benefits, just come to church and we'll make you feel good about it? You hypocrites, woe unto you. Now, you're hearing this from a guy who would pardon the Hammonds in a minute. Who would say, well, if I was president, I probably couldn't do this, and that is another reason why, because I don't think the president has the power to even stop it now. But, I mean, way back in the days of Kennedy, you might have had a chance, but and he might have been thinking about doing that, I don't know. But he didn't have the strength of character either. I mean, he couldn't even stay loyal to his wife. How's he going to be loyal to you? I mean, he had certain sense of justice. I think he cared about this country. It was only a matter of time before you get a president who doesn't care about the country. Maybe you got one now. I don't know. What do you think? You know, you've got a government that doesn't care about you in many aspects. I mean, government, what is that? I mean, we're talking about millions of people that are in the government. So, But and I'm sure some of them do care about you, but they don't care enough to give up any benefits. They don't care enough to risk their pension. They don't care enough to risk their pride. You know, just talking last night to someone who is a friend of Judge Hogan, known him for years. Judge Hogan going to come back and say, you know, publicly say, I mean, he's got his pension. They can't take his pension away from him, really. I mean, they probably could, but he's going to lose it anyway. Because there's going to be total economic collapse, and he and his children's children are going to be dying because he doesn't have the armor of God, because he isn't as much of a Christian as he thinks he is. But neither are you, so I'm not picking on him. But if this gets to him, let him hear. He needs to speak up for righteousness. He knows that if they spend any more time than he gave them, which is even what he gave them is a shock to my conscience, but if he, and they are spending the rest of the time. He should come out and says, I said that was a shock to my conscience to give them any more, and it's still a shock to my conscience that the judiciary has decided to do this. Because they did not have to. And we'll go over why they say they can do this. And we'll show you how insidious this evil is. But I'm going to bring it back to your doorstep. Because I can't do anything about those people who aren't listening. But if you will listen and follow the ways of Christ, you will see miraculous changes. And the armor of God will come over you and protect you. But if you don't, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. What's he talking about? I thought the kingdom of heaven was in you. He's talking about you going into the kingdom. He's talking about people having the power to shut up the kingdom of heaven. So you can't go in. The kingdom of heaven is within you. But you can still enter into the kingdom of heaven at the same time as within you. That's called a paradox, okay? Get used to it. It's the Bible's full of them. The kingdom of heaven is those people who want to live by righteousness, faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. And the Pharisees weren't going to let them do that. They weren't going to do that. They want to live by their Corbin, their benefits, their Social Security, their Medicare, their Medicaid, their welfare. But Christ was saying no. John the Baptist was saying no. If you have extra, share with those that don't have enough. You do it by faith, hope, and charity. If you're not doing it by faith, hope, and charity, then taking care of your elderly, then taking care of the sick, taking care of the widows, the orphans of your society, the education of your children. If you're not doing that by faith, hope, and charity, you're not following Christ. Now, I'll give you an idea of what made America great. If you were growing up in the days of Thomas Jefferson and you wanted to go to college, you could go to Thomas Jefferson and get a student loan. No, I'm kidding you. You couldn't go to Thomas Jefferson and get a student loan. You didn't need to go to Thomas Jefferson and get a student loan. You could go to Harvard and you didn't have to pay any tuition at all. If you didn't have the money, you didn't have to pay tuition. If you could keep up the grades, if you're not going to keep up the grades, they don't want you there. But if you were willing to study and work at it, you could go to Harvard for free. Because other people would pay your way through faith, hope, and charity, through donations. That's what made America great. Not socialism. Love for one another. Socialism isn't love for one another. Socialism is exercising authority one over the other. Calling government master. Calling, you know, what is it, Bernie? Master. He will make them pay for your education. He wants to be master. You just listen to him. He's going to make them do it. You know, that's not Christian. That's not compassionate, because that destroys society. It destroys the character of society. Socialism destroys the character of society. If you have a socialist nation, you know, like Europe, take Europe. They're almost all socialist nation. Sweden, socialist nation. Germany, socialist nation. Democratic Socialist Party won World War II. Did you know that? I mean, FDR was democratic socialist, and Hitler was a democratic socialist. So the democratic socialists won World War II. That's it. And now, but if a nation was socialist nation for, say, 50 years, just 50 years, they've been a socialist nation for longer, but say for 50 years, you could actually bring in immigrants into that country by the thousands who go around and rape children daily, daily. You know, in 1 year in Sweden, there's 1,000 rapes. 300 of them will be children raped by immigrants. Okay, did you let those numbers sink in there for a minute? 300 children in Sweden. Children raped by immigrants. And what are the people doing? They're just letting it happen. I mean, there was a 13-year-old girl who were taken by three immigrants, kept for days, raped repeatedly, ended up at the police station, and the police held her there without her parents, without counsel, without, you know, really taking care of her in any way, and grilled her for 3 hours until she finally said that, you know, it didn't happen. Except for the medical people who did examine her said it did happen. She was raped multiple times. But the police got her to confess that it didn't happen, so they threw the thing out, sent her home. And people go out on the street and are mentioning this and telling it with loudspeakers, explaining, her cousin is there explaining what happened, her cousin almost in tears, with loudspeaker, and they get a little crowd around, and you hear this little clap, clap, applause. And then everybody goes home. Socialist nation. That's what happens in a socialist nation. People are being raped in a car. I mean, that's what it, you hear the car screaming for help, begging for help, being raped in the car. And the car's moving around, a little tiny, like Ford Escort. Like somebody is struggling in there. On a public street, parked right there on a public street. Person after person comes by, hears this, scamper by, run by, just get out, move by quickly. They don't even call on their cell phone. I think somebody's being raped in this car. They don't even call. They just go by and do nothing about it. 85% of the people did absolutely nothing. How could that be? Socialism. Socialism, it's not your job. You don't have to worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your neighbor there being raped behind the curtain. That's somebody else's job. You don't have to care. You don't have to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, you're saved by grace. You just have to think you believe in Jesus and you're saved. You see? These people think they're Christians. They're not Christians. These people think they're good people. They're not. They're the wicked of the world. Everybody who scampered by and didn't even call. You know, every one of those people had cell phones. That nobody called out, help, help, there's somebody being raped here. But they would just, you know, I would love to do that on the street. And then everybody who stopped, I would want their names and number. And I would want to give, actually, when they finally found somebody in Sweden who did this, all I can tell you is at least one of them, there was two guys who, you know, opened up the door and grabbed a guy who was in there and dragged him out. There wasn't, woman wasn't being raped. It was a recording, but it sounded like it, looked like it. And they opened up the door and they dragged the guy out and they started going in the car to find out who was getting raped. And they didn't know if there was one guy in there or two guys in there. They didn't know. They didn't know the guys were armed. But they weren't going to go walk by. They were going to do something. And the guy they dragged out, and they held him down on the ground. And when he tried to get up, they started punching him. Finally, he convinced them, hey, this is you're being filmed. This is a test. We're looking for... And when they got up, they were hugging these guys. I've told this story a couple times, but I mean, it's impressive. They finally found somebody who would do something. Unfortunately, in Sweden, they found somebody to do something. He was a Frenchman, for gosh sakes. Socialism. Years of socialism. It has destroyed you as a nation morally. In Sweden, Norway, Germany, France, England, Ireland. You know, the land of the Vikings. Letting their women get raped and running away. What cowards. What despicable cowards. What do they deserve? Well, they're getting it. You know, at this point, I say, get out. Get out of those countries. Gather together. You know? Well, I look for others. Seek others. Start coming together. You don't have to leave the country. But start gathering together with others and start caring about one another. Start rekindling the fire that once made you guys great nations. Do this in America, Canada, Australia. I don't care where you're at. It needs to be done. This is what we're preaching. This is the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, then you're not going to be entering the kingdom of heaven now, here on this earth. It's at hand. It's within your reach. It means that you have to repent and start thinking about others, loving others as much as you love yourself. Stop trying to be masters over one another in all the little ways that are socially acceptable today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, woe unto you is what we've been talking about, but let's get into some actual statistical information and data so you can see what I'm talking about that is going on right in front of you all the time. And I'm going to show you all this political rhetoric, all this, like, get another guy elected. None of these guys that you're going to get elected understand the real essence of the problem. So, none of them are your salvation. The salvation is you have to repent. You have to begin to see the truth, admit the truth in yourself, and start acting accordingly. And this will give rise to a light in the nation, because Christ is the way and the truth and the light. We're going to show you how you're not following Christ, you're not following the way, you're not following the light, and therefore you are being absolutely stupid and ignorant in what you choose to do and what the world is choosing to do that you think is perfectly good. And or you know, may not think it's perfectly good, but you think a lot of what you see going on is good, and it's not good. It's the reverse. And if I show you this clear enough and you accept the truth of that, then you can accept the next truth and the next truth and the next truth, because that's part of turning around. And you may have already started turning around, but we have to keep you going in the direction of the kingdom and see all levels of that, because that's how you become perfected as saints. And in what's coming to this nation and the world in general, not to the world absolute, you're going to need to become saints, because you're going to need the power of saints to overcome. It will take a miracle to save you now. All life will perish from the face of this earth unless you begin to wake up. And this has to do with the reality of creation. Because you are so asleep, so far away from the kingdom now. Now, some of you are beginning to turn around, beginning to wake up, beginning to see. But you have to set aside your anger, set aside your judgment, and really humble your heart to let God in. So that God is your master, not me. I'm not your teacher. I'm going to tell you stuff, but you're not going to get it unless you let God into your heart. And this is what Christ was saying about a lot of these things. You know you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's goods. You know you're not supposed to pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, who are the fathers of the earth, who are the God's many that Paul talks about. The fathers of the earth, the God's many, the benefactors who exercise authority, all the same people. They're the guys who want to rule over you, want to rule over your neighbor. They want to provide you with benefits, and that's how they entice you in. But you become a fit savage when you go that way. It changes you. You will actually aid and abet rapists. You will know that a rape is going on. My son and one of our ministers came upon somebody who had drugged a girl and was raping her in the bushes. Fortunately, another woman had already come and broken it up, and the guy was fleeing, but they came up at the commotion because they were a little farther away. They went over there right away when they saw the commotion. But a girl had chased them off. There were other men standing by who saw the whole thing, and they didn't come. They weren't going to interfere. Yeah, we knew that they were, yeah, but we didn't do anything. Men, I use the term loosely, because they're not men. But then again, we have to forgive them because they're victims of the same thing that we've been victim of. If we think that they're the problem, and they are, but while we're thinking they're the problem, we're not realizing that we're the problem. Now, I'm telling you, you could have broke up that rape from across the street without even crossing the road if you were full of the Holy Spirit. It couldn't have gone on if you were full of the Holy Spirit. But you're not. And why? Because you still have need of repentance. You still need to go farther than just, you know, repenting of the few things that you've repented of already. You need to go and seek the righteousness of God, which is not just a little righteousness. It's real righteousness. Now, I'll give you, one of the reasons the Hammonds went to jail the second time is because it was a mandatory sentence written out in a statute that if you're convicted of this supposed crime, which they didn't really commit because the judge said there was no malicious intent, if there was no malicious intent, then it's not an act of terrorism. By definitions, he should have said, I can't find them guilty of malicious intent, therefore I can't find them guilty of terrorism. Because terrorism requires malicious intent, and they weren't doing that. You might be able to charge them with negligence, except there was no damage. The judge knew there wasn't $100 worth of damage. Not $100 worth of damage, yet they're charged with a felony. How can you do that? So the judge erred. And he needs to confess that error for his own salvation's sake. So if somebody sends this show to the judge, maybe I'll ask Tom to do it. Anyway, in a ruling, actually a pair of rulings, 5-4 rulings in the Supreme Court, said that the constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment is not violated by sentences at the outer limits of the 1994 law that allows this, three strikes and you're out kind of thing. 50 years to life for shoplifting $153 worth of videotapes, or 25 years to life for a man who stole 3 golf clubs is okay. In the eyes of at least 5 of the people who made this ruling. And 5-4, and they make this ruling that suddenly becomes law. These are the gods of your world. These are the ones who decide good and evil. They're saying that's good. It's not evil. And so you can do that. This is what God's many means. This is what it meant back in the time of Paul. This is why Jesus should be your God. He should be deciding what is good and evil because he is a merciful God. But you don't pray to Jesus. You do on Sunday, but the rest of the week you're praying to the gods many of the world, the benefactors who exercise authority. Give me free education for my children. Give me Social Security for my parents because I don't want to take, I want to do no more ought for my parents because I like your Corbin. Take care of the needy of society. We're going to show you where that leads to. So in these two separate cases, the justice rejected the argument that the sentences imposed on these two California men were so disproportionate to their crime that they violated the Eighth Amendment. So they rejected that. A lawyer for one of the men said the two decisions effectively end future challenges to the three strikes law, as the sentence at issue were so extreme in light of the men's crimes. And now, actually, in arguing all this stuff, they bring up the fact that these men actually did commit many other crimes, and they were arrested for them, and they were sent to jail, and they came out. You know, I mean, the one guy who was stealing the videotapes, these weren't porn tapes, these were children tapes. You know, I guess he had kids and he wanted to give them, you know, he was stealing, but he's probably a kleptomaniac. I mean, he probably got a lot of other serious problems. But their idea is to send him to jail for 50 years. And I'm going to show you how stupid you are, how stupid these judges are, how stupid the entire nation is to do this. I'm going to show you. And you're going to say, boy, are we stupid when I'm done. You watch. One was sentenced to 50 years to life for stealing 9 children's videotapes from 2 different Kmarts. And the other was sentenced to 25 years to life for walking out of a pro golf shop with 3 golf clubs. They were actually hidden in his pants. He slid them down his pants, so he was limping out, you know, because he can't bend his knee anymore. this is a stupid crime. He's going to jail maybe for life because of this. Because he had other crimes that he had done. And so anyway, he says that 50 years to life for shoplifting isn't grossly disproportionate. What is? This is the Erwin Chemerinsky, who is a law professor for the University of Southern California, who represented one of the men. I think that's the most disturbing, is that these 5 justices, which actually, there's 9 on the tribunal, in the majority expressed no concern, let alone any outrage. It didn't shock their conscience that people are being imprisoned for life for a minor offense like shoplifting. Now, some of you may think, well, this guy, you know, he'd committed a lot of other, you know, the petty thefts a lot, sometimes burglary and stuff like this. And, you know, I don't remember all of them. You can read them. These are actually well-known cases. And guys have gotten these life sentences for stealing a pizza. Okay? Life sentence for stealing a pizza. They just didn't appeal that one all the way up to the Supreme Court. Now, other states are joining on to this to get repeat offenders. Is this smart? Is this wise? Is this Christ-like? No, it's the absolute stupidest thing I have ever heard in my whole life. Because another robbery is going to take place because of that decision. And not a petty theft robbery. Not $156 worth of tapes. I'm talking serious, major, outrageous, billion-dollar robbery. A $39 billion robbery is going to take place because of that decision of those 5 guys. I mean, you talk about gods. I mean, these are your gods. These are your gods many. And they're your gods many because you're not following Christ. Because all these people who say they're Christians, they're not. They're hypocrites. Woe unto them. And this is the woe. Okay, where am I throwing these $39 billion and all? Where am I getting that figure from? The Vera Institute of Justice released a study in 2012. Now, this is 2012. Now it's 2016. So these numbers are actually low. The aggregated cost of prison, and actually they're using figures back to 2010. And they looked over 40 states that participated in this study that produced, you know, I mean, this is only 40 states, so nationwide it's even far more. It's billions, over $40-50 billion. Easy. Annual average taxpayer cost. This is the taxpayer cost in these states comes to $31,286 per inmate. $31,286 per inmate. 50 years times $31,268 is $1,563,000, and well, actually plus $400, but that's chump change, you know, because the guy stole 9 children's videos out of Kmart. You are going to have to pay $1.5 million to incarcerate that man. Are you stupid or what? Your justice system needs to be overhauled from the bottom up, because it ain't no justice in the system. You just got fined $1.5 million because that guy stole $150 worth of videotapes. You know, it'd been less if he stole them from the discount table, probably, because there's only 9 videotapes we're talking about. You're going to pay $1.5 million because he's going to go to jail for 50 years. You've probably already spent more than that because he's been in the court, there's been court reporters, judges, salaries, you know, clerks, all these things, heating bills, all that stuff. You've probably already spent over $1 million on the guys. I mean, that little crime is going to cost you probably $3-4 million before it's done, because he stole $150. You talk about redistribution of wealth. You are stupid. You say, well, he served it. He committed all these other crimes. He deserves it. You know, you haven't got a brain in your head. You know, with the technology we have today, you could put a wristband on him, or an ankle band on him. You can know where that guy goes every single day. You can monitor him like they monitor the wolves out here. They got them with collars on them that, you know, last for long periods of time. And they go around and they track where they're going all the time. You could track this guy all the time. You track, you know, if you had a president, instead of spending millions and millions of dollars or tracking every man, you know, and collecting millions and billions of emails and listening in on my telephone call, you could be watching these guys, and you could actually do it in a way that would help them. Because he has an addiction problem. He's addicted to stealing. It isn't all choice with him. He doesn't steal every time. He's not stealing every day. But he keeps falling back. He's just like somebody. It's a disease with him. You know, I mean, he's stealing children's tapes probably for his kids. You could put that on them and help him and watch where he goes. And yeah, and if he does bad, you put him in jail again. But then, you know, he's been 10 days in jail. Maybe you don't even have to do that. You just restrict him more. You know, if you do, and he has to pay, you know, like I already give him the case where a guy stole a purse. He was down on his luck. He was going to be kicked out of college. He couldn't pay his, he was sleeping in his car. I think, no, he was just about to sleep in his car because he had to pay his rent and all this stuff. And he snatched a purse that was sitting next to him in an auditorium, and people saw him. He confessed immediately when they caught him. And he went to jail for years. Cost $100,000 because he stole $300 and threw away the purse. The woman never got her money back. She never got her purse back. Why didn't the judge say, you have to pay the woman back $600? You're on probation. You're not going to go to jail. You're on probation. You have to buy her a new purse, and you got to take her to dinner. And you have to report here that you've got a job and you're making the job. I know people. I wouldn't be surprised if that woman didn't rent him a room so he could finish college. Instead, the people had to pay $100,000 out because he stole $300. Why? How is that? Who is? But, you know, the people deserve this. Because the people are, you know, robbing from one another, taking a bite out of one another. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be this stupid, this ignorant, because you're not following the ways of Christ. You could do this, you could empty these jails out, but they're not going to, this is not going to happen, because this is a huge billion dollar business. Just in 40 states, they spend $40 billion in 1 year. Somebody's taking home big salaries, wages. This is big industry. This is a moneymaker. They want you going to jail. They love the three strikes your law. So these other states say, oh, let's do that. Let's have the three strikes and you have to go to jail for 50 years law. That will lower crime. It won't. Now, idiots will vote for that. But guys who want to go into the prison business and make billions of dollars, they will lobby that. And you'll fall for it. You know, you'll sit there eating chips and drinking beer and watching TV and shaking your fist at these stupid politicians. But you're the stupid one. Because you're not following Christ. You want to be rulers one over the other. And that's why you have such a big prison system. You want to rule over people. You don't want to help those people stop committing crimes. You don't want to help them change. You don't want to change. So you're not going to create change. You're going to be left with change. You're not even going to have change when you're done. You're going to be in debt beyond salvation. There's not going to be any hope yet, but you call yourself a Christian. You're not attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You do not love one another as Christ loved you. You go to church. You sing songs. You mumble prayers. But you don't know what the kingdom of God... Kingdom of God doesn't do this stuff. That's not the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of hell. You will be invaded. And not just by fifth columns of guys. You're going to be invaded by actual military armies. And you're going to starve to death by the millions in America. This is what's coming. It's horrible. Should you fear? No, fear not. Repent. Start changing your ways. Start coming together like the early church did. Start caring about one another. Start contributing on a daily basis into your congregation. Your congregation, you gather as much as you can so you can send it to other congregations. You don't gather as much as you can so you have lots of money in your congregational coffer. You have as much as you can that you cast your bread upon the waters to help somebody else. And you look to your ministers who are actually following Christ, who are willing to lovingly rebuke you for your lack of faith and love for one another. What's happening? 11 states now have more people on welfare than they do employed. 11 states, more people collecting welfare. You think that's a big deal? More people collecting welfare? What does that mean? Households below the poverty level line receive $168 a day in government support. What's the problem with that much support? Well, the median household income in America is just over $50,000, which the averages out to $137.13 a day. To put that another way, being on welfare now pays the equivalent of $30 an hour for a 40-hour week, while the average job pays $20 an hour. But the guys working are supposed to support all the other guys that are not working. I live in a county where 75% of the people get a government check. We're just talking about the welfare people. You know, we're not talking about all the people on government check. When people say, well, there's a lot of people in Harney County that don't support Bundy and want them to leave. Most of Harney County works for the government. So what'd you expect? Of course you're going to find people that want them to leave. You know, people said, oh, they'll starve and they'll leave there because they won't have any food and everything. Their pantries are full. People are bringing them food every day. People are supporting them. They're probably not getting a lot of food from the BLM supporters. But when I've been in situations not like this, because we never did any armed, you know, because I think that's a mistake. I think it's bad strategy. And I also think that, you know, somebody needs to send them this video. Of this audio, so he understands that as long as you are taking from your neighbor, taking a bite out of your neighbor, expect to be devoured. If you're sending your kids to public school, if you're depending upon Social Security payments, if you're depending on Medicare, Medicaid, all these government benefits from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, from the fathers of the earth, from these God's many, then expect to be devoured. You have to move away from socialism, and you don't need a government vote to do that. You need to choose to do that. That's why we want you to join the network, to gather with, to create congregations. We're going to start a policy that if you want to be on our contact ministers group, of course, if you want to be in our ministers group, you have to be a part of congregations. And because we're spread out, you're going to be in congregations with people spread out. But you need to start practicing the idea of caring about somebody else as much as you care about yourself. And it can't be just people you love, because there is no grace in just loving those who love you. Christ says that. What grace is there if you only love those who love you? You have to start loving people that are a long ways away. And now you have that opportunity. When we start having nothing but local congregations and they start growing, we'll have another problem. Of contention and people, you know, arguing and debating and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a secondary problem with this kind of welfare, and I'll tell you what it is. I don't have much time left, but anyway, people who are diagnosed with diabetes who want to receive treatment within 6 months of being diagnosed with diabetes. In the United States, 93% receive it within 6 months. In England, 15%. Receive it within 6 months. Canada, 43% receive it. Less than half of the people get, within 6 months of being diagnosed with diabetes, do they get help? You're lucky they're not dead. Hip replacements, 90% chance of being treated within 6 months. England, 15% chance of being treated within 6 months. And you go down the list. It's more and more and more and more and more. We'll talk more about that next time on Keys of the Kingdom. But you need to start getting serious about seeking it. And until then, peace on your house. May God bless you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.